Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We're going through this book, and we are going to begin looking at chapter 10. But I'd like to back up a little bit and read what our Lord said at the end of chapter 9. Let's read from chapter 9, verse 36, down to chapter 10, verse 7. But when he saw the multitudes, when our Lord saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, our Lord declared right here that he has chosen to use the means of sending laborers to gather his people to himself. He said, pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. And just to give you a little clue of where we're headed in our message, we need to pray that the Lord will send forth true laborers. Here's the one thing I want to point out from the start. There is no shortage of preachers in this world, especially in Kingsport. When I moved here, I found out everybody's a preacher. Never known a place like this. But our Lord said to us, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest, send preachers. And we need to beg God, this is what we honestly need to beg God, that he will send forth true laborers. I pray that God will raise up men to preach the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We need true laborers. That's what this world needs. True laborers. Our Lord has chosen to use the means of calling his people to himself through laborers preaching his message. He could have chosen any means he wanted to. That's just the means that he declared that he's chosen to use to call his people. He calls it his harvest. To call his people to himself. He said that at the end of chapter 9. And then in chapter 10, he appointed 12 laborers. And it's pointed out that one of them was Judas, and our Lord declared later the purpose in that. But he called right here 12 laborers, and he gave them this commission. He said, go and preach. Let me tell you what religion needs. It needs the preaching of the truth. We don't need pageants. We don't need plays. We don't need any of this mess that's going on. We don't need any of this mess. He said, go and preach. Go and preach. That's the labor that I've called you to. Go and preach. Paul told the Corinthians, it has pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching. That means what men see as being foolishness. What are y'all doing? You see this? Why do y'all do this? It has pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So I've titled this message, Why and What We Preach. Why and what we preach. Before we get into that, though, I want us to understand something that's very important. This is so important. Every now and then, I always feel burdened about the message that I'm called on to deliver, but every now and then I have a special burden for a message, and this is one of them. This is just so important. Men all over this world stand up in pulpits and they call themselves preachers. And I want to say that if a man's preaching the truth, I'm for him. I'm for him. But men stand up all over this world and they take this title to themselves of being a preacher. They just decide, I'm a preacher. And people listen to them because they call themselves preachers. People sit down and listen to them. But this is what we must understand. And this is God's word. The majority of them are not. They call themselves preachers, but the majority of them are not. They may be public speakers and they may be very good at it. But the majority of them are not God-called preachers. And one of the greatest warnings that our Lord gave while he was on this earth was, beware of false prophets. I asked our brother to read that portion of scripture just a moment ago, and the last two words that he read were false prophets. False preachers. The Apostle John wrote, try the preachers to know whether they are of God or not. That is what you need to do with me. Now, I'm telling you this because I believe in my heart that I love you and care about your eternal souls. If you are going to listen to me, if you are going to come back, and you're going to listen to me, then you need to make sure that I'm a true laborer. Because if I'm not, and you listen to me, and you believe what I'm telling you, I'm going to be eternally damned, and so are you. Now, I'm telling you that so we can understand this is serious. This is serious. We're not just playing games here. What I just quoted to you is what Paul told the Galatians. He said, if any man comes and he doesn't preach this right here, let him be cursed. And those who hear him are going to be cursed right with him. This is so, so serious. A man has no idea the condemnation that he's bringing on himself and the people that he preaches to by flippantly taking on the role of a false preacher. I just want to warn, before we jump into the pulpits, we need to count the cost. We need to make sure we're dealing. We just listened to a wonderful Bible study on an eternal, holy, sovereign God. And we're going to answer to him. And we're going to stand before him. And this is so, so serious. Now, there is a fine line that determines whether or not a man is a true preacher or a false preacher. And that fine line comes so close to the truth. The fine line of error and false comes so close to the truth. This is what our Lord said. He said, if it were possible, the very elect would even be deceived. You ever ask yourself, how critical is this really? How rigid should we be really? Are we being a little too harsh here? This is what our Lord said. He said, that line is so close to the truth. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Thank God, he says, it's not possible. God's people are going to be kept. He will not allow his people to fall for lies. He will expose even the tiniest bit of what the scripture calls leaven. That means lies. That means man. That means self. He'll expose even the tiniest bit of leaven that will ruin the whole thing. He said a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And he will cause his people to hear, and they will take note of even the tiniest lie that will send men and women into eternal destruction. There is an eternity coming. There's an eternity coming. That lie, those lies are so far-reaching in the world, and they're so great. Our Lord said, and if you want to read this for yourself sometime, this is just a few chapters back, Matthew 7. He said, the road of lies that leads men and women into eternal destruction is so wide. He said, it's so broad, masses of people are going to go down it. And he said, the road of truth that leads men and women into eternal life is so narrow. When he said, straight is the gate, that word straight means narrow. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, few there be that find it. Now he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Well, I thought there were preachers everywhere. Not true preachers. They're not everywhere. I thank God when I hear a man stand up and preach the truth. Don't you? Oh, I thank God for that. Now, have I gotten the point across that this is serious? This is so serious. This is why I want us to consider what we preach. It will determine whether or not God has called a man to be one of his true laborers or not. How can I know if I'm hearing a true laborer? What determines whether a man is a true God-called laborer or not? Our Lord plainly spelled it out for us in Jeremiah 23. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, this chapter begins with our Lord saying in verse 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. I take that verse very seriously. The Apostle Paul said, woe be unto me if I'm not a true laborer. Our Lord, in this chapter right here, he is condemning false preachers. Your heading may be the same as mine. It says, against false prophets. Our Lord warned and warned and warned and warned. This is one of the things he warned of the most. And our Lord doesn't sugarcoat anything in this. He has zero tolerance for false preachers. So he said, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." Look with me at verse 16. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain." And they do. The result of a false message. Here's the evidence of it. The result of a false message from a false prophet is people become vain. And what that means, you know what it means if somebody's vain. It's all about them. Right? It's all about them. And that's what happens. All the focus gets turned to them. This is the result of a false message. They become puffed up. Religion puffs people up. They become high on themselves. They start to, you know, walk this walk that they think they ought to be walking. And it makes a man and a woman self-righteous. They're doing better. They're obeying, they think, the law. Proud. Makes men and women pride. Let me tell you what the truth does. The truth tears all of that down. It just does. It brings men and women low. Our Lord is constantly saying this. It puts men and women in the dust. But a lie will just make men and women vain. And our Lord said in verse 16, "Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." They've made up their own message out of their own words. And the Lord said, they're trying to put those words into my mouth. He said, they speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Verse 17, "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said," and this is what people say. Well, now you know God says. Now you know the Bible says. Next time somebody says that, just say, "Show me. Where does it say that?" Well, now you know the Bible says. Well, show me. Verse 17, "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." Verse 18, "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it?" What he's saying is, when did they hear me say that? Look at verse 21. "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." Our text, don't turn back, but our text said, "Pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers." Pray to the Lord that he will call and send forth laborers. He said, they're running, but I didn't send them. If a man is going to be a true laborer, he's going to have to be sent of God, specifically called and sent. Romans 10, verse 15 says, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" Verse 25 right here, he said, "I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed." You hear men say all kinds of things. Don't you want to know who's telling the truth? Verse 26, "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal." And what he's saying is, through their lies, they are erasing the truth of who I really am in the hearts and the minds of men and women. After people hear things, you grow up hearing things. And after you hear things enough, you start to believe it. And men have been telling other people, this is who God is. All right? This is what people have heard all their lives. Men, false prophets, stand up and say, this is who God is. He's not God. And he can't do anything unless you let him. And he wants to so badly, but this is in your hands. And you're the one who's going to have to make the decision to do it. You're the one who's going to actually have to do it. His hands are tied because he actually doesn't have any hands but your hands. And men and women grow up and they think, this is what will make men and women vain. I'm the one who's going to have to. I will. That's what Lucifer said. I will. And God said, no, you won't. Cast out as a bolt of lightning. And God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not different. The God we're reading about, yeah, that's the Old Testament. Why don't you get on up to the New Testament? I'm not going to take the time to do that because I'm going to hold you long enough. But it says the same thing. He hadn't changed. We desperately, desperately need to bow to the God of Scripture. And he said, men and women have lost sight of me because they're not being told the truth about me. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And then if you want to take the time, you can finish reading that chapter sometime. The Lord was very direct with them, just very direct. So this is serious. With this command to go and preach, every man who preaches and every soul who hears a preacher, we would all be wise to ask this question. If we're preaching, we need to ask, what shall I cry? And if we're hearing, we need to ask, what shall I listen to? The Lord told Isaiah, Isaiah said, what shall I cry? The Lord told him, this is what you cry. All flesh is grass. Behold your God. How do we know he told Isaiah that? He wrote it in his word. What do we preach? Verse 28 right here, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. To clearly understand what he meant by that, the Apostle John said, in the beginning was the word. You just heard this quoted to us twice. Here's the third time. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who are you talking about, John? The Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about this almighty, holy God who rules all and controls all, who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Christ, the Word. We preach the Word. We preach Christ. And if you go with me back to Matthew, it states it this way, and all of these are the same thing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." The gospel of the kingdom. We preach the word, we preach Christ, we preach the gospel. It's all the same thing. Christ is the word. Christ is the gospel. To preach the word truly, to labor in the word. If we're going to labor in the word and preach this word, we are going to have to preach the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. To preach the gospel, to honestly, sincerely preach the gospel, is to preach the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the gospel. If we preach the person and the work of man, and how do we know if we're doing that? Well, here's how we'll know. When we leave this place, either we're going to be dwelling on the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're going to be dwelling on the person and the work that still needs to be done of man. And that's how we know. But if we're preaching the person of man and the work of man, we're not preaching the gospel. That's the false message. The message that has us look into man, the work of man, what man needs to do with the gospel, what man needs to do with Christ and do with his word. Can you imagine people stand up and say, "What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What's he going to do with me? What is he going to do with me?" The gospel is the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this, okay? I'm going to very much speed up. Salvation is finished. Salvation is finished. The Lord God of heaven chose a people to save, and Christ came and saved them. And there's nothing left for you to do because it's already done. And the job of a laborer is to go tell men and women, "This is what Christ has already done for you. Rest." And when you hear men come and say, "You got to go to work," don't listen to him. He'll make you vain. Now, if you don't give your money, you can't go to heaven. Don't listen to him. Now, if you don't give your heart, you can't. Don't listen to him. Now, if you don't, you have to. Don't listen to him. If the man comes and says, "Jesus Christ paid it all the debt you owed, sin ruined you, he washed it all white as snow," listen to him. That's preaching the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel means good news. You say, "Well, Gabe, everything you've told me has been pretty bad news." I know, that's called the truth. That's called the truth. Now, here's the gospel. The blood of Christ has paid it all. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. That's the whole point of everything that's been said so far. The blood of Christ has paid it all. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't let anyone say, "Well, he put a down payment, but now you're going to have to pick up the payments every month from here on out." Don't let anybody say, "Well, he took the first step, but now all the rest of them are up to you." The blood of Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid it all. The good news of the gospel is not in the life that I have to live, but in the life he lived. That's the good news. If you want to look at my life, all you're going to see is a life of sin and ruin. That's the truth. And I could try to, you know, lie to you, put on a front and make you think I'm better than I really am, but I'm not. But the gospel's not in my life. It's in His life. It's not in how I'm going to die. It's in how He died. It's not in the sin that I need to put away. It's in the sin that He put away. It's in His rising victory of that accomplishment. It's in the fact that He's seated on the throne right now. If I could say it this way, the gospel has nothing to do with me. Other than the fact that I'm just a free recipient of it. The gospel has nothing to do with my life, my death, my walk, my anything. It has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything to do with Him. It's all about Him. What do we preach? Him. The Apostle Paul said, you know, they had all these questions for John the Baptist and all these questions for all these guys. And Paul finally told them, listen, Paul was a very well-educated man. Went to seminary and all that kind of stuff. He said, I have determined from this point on not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach Christ. We preach Him. We preach Him. Now, I made the decision to combine these two. I was going to make two messages out of it, and clearly I should have. But I felt like they went better together. So I'm going to give you the cliff notes to why we preach. And I hope this will be a blessing, and we'll end with this. What do we preach when you get down to it? We preach Jesus Christ. Who He is, why He came, what He did, what that means for us. We preach Christ and His finished work. Why do we preach? Here's just a few reasons. The first one is in Matthew 9, verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. Why do we preach? The compassion of the Lord. If you want to get to the number one reason why I'm standing here right now with good news for us, it's the compassion of the Lord. It's the love of God toward sinners. For God so loved, He gave. God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Herein is love. Not that we love God, that He loved. We only loved Him because He first loved us. Psalm 103 tells us of the pity He had for His people. Lamentations 3 tells us of the fact that His compassion fails not. It's new every morning. All right, here's the second reason. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power. Their power was in the Word. It was in the name of the One who they spoke on behalf. They said, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Why do we preach? It's the power of God unto salvation. I'll tell you what will happen. When the Word of God goes out, men and women will hear it and they will first be shocked because they've never heard anything like it. It does not match mainstream religion. And then the Spirit of God will cause them to realize that's the truth. They will believe it. They will see their utter ruin in themselves and that the only hope they have before God is the blood of Jesus Christ. And they'll beg God to give it to them. That's the draw. That's the call. Preaching this word is the power of God unto salvation. That's why we preach. Number 3, verse 5 says, chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why do we preach? It's because God has a particular people. He has chosen sheep, and he said, go to them and feed them. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. What do we feed on? Christ. Preach Christ to them. Number 4, verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why do we preach? Because in our natural condition, we're lost. We need to be found. We're in darkness. We need Christ our light. Back up in chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We need Christ. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep, other sheep I have, and I must bring them into the fold. Here's the last reason, verse 7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why do we preach? It's because this is urgent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right now, our Lord is plucking his ripe fruit, calling his people, taking them home. Right now. The harvest is right now. The things concerning Christ and salvation, they cannot be put off. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. He's coming quickly. He's truly coming quickly. Through the message of the word, all who have been ordained to believe will. All who have been given ears to hear will. All who have been called to come will. And that's why we preach the gospel of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, honestly, I pray God will call men to preach his truth. And I pray for that harvest. Oh, may God call many, many people to himself. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.